Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. When I read it, I think I know what the spirit of the legislation was supposed to be. But frankly, it's just crazy. The way it's actually written to try to include Santa Rosa County and any county in the panhandle, and with that legislation that obviously anyone with common sense would say that's supposed to handle the communities around Tampa area that dealt with a significant hurricane.
What is Colton Wright talking about? Santa Rosa County Commission talking about this on Monday. We actually talked about this with Brad Baker, the administrator, yesterday, but I finally got around to watching the end of the meeting and listening to their comments and discussion of it. And if you have not heard this story, it's, John, what's the word we want? Insane?
Yes,
it's insane.
That's a good...
Yeah. So here's the kind of the short version of it. Is there was a bill, SB 180, and the bill was passed as a way to kind of prevent local governments after a hurricane from changing the rules in order to make it harder to redevelop after the hurricane, to rebuild after the hurricane, to keep them from interfering, you know, rebuilding effort. It's kind of the short version, by making, you know, more burdensome rules, land development code changes, things like that. And in the process, the way they wrote the law, it applies to not just counties that were actually hit by hurricanes, but any county that had a national declaration of emergency and gets national flood insurance money, which is us here in the panhandle, even though we didn't get hit by any hurricanes. And so this goes through October of 2027. And that means that, for example, Santa Rosa County, that's been having this land development code task force work on changes to things like clear cutting and, you know, setbacks and subdivision designs and things like that. Very important things that wind up affecting your quality of life if they're done poorly or well. And it's come back with its set of recommendations. And their basic issue was, I don't think we can even implement these because of SB 180. Because even though we weren't affected by a hurricane, we are in the declaration. And based on the way this law is written, it prevents us from, if they're any more burdensome at all, then a builder can come back and sue us for violating SB 180.
I think you all know that I try to be pragmatic and very balanced and fair. I will say in this instance, I'm only one person, but I'm willing to stand up to the state legislature and thumb our noses at them. I think it's...
And not a lot of people in the audience, but yeah, this is a crazy application of this law. The level of preemption that they have implemented through this is, I mean, it's baffling, amazing.
I mean, guys, we know, we were just at FAC last week, and we heard it.
Florida State Association of Counties.
And we heard it time and time again, right? Every conversation that we had was someone from another county having a problem with the state legislature, you know, basically putting their boot on the throat of local government. And it's completely unacceptable because we're the ones that are closest to the people. The people in this room, the vast majority of them, don't have a quick way to go and just talk to their state representative or their state senator, much less their congressman, right? But they can find us. They can go to their city council person. They can go to their county commissioner. And we know because we hear it all the time.
Now, Alex and Michelle and Nathan are pretty accessible. But still, he's right. I mean, you can definitely talk to your city council member, the mayor, your county commissioner, whatever. But the boot on the neck, I mean, I will tell you how it feels for local legislators, because they 100% of them say the same thing. It feels like they're just about on the edge of getting rid of counties. Getting rid of, I mean, that's what it feels like. All of these preemptions, all of these, you know, unfunded mandates, and then the talk about eliminating property taxes without any real plan to fix what would happen if that actually did take place. It's kind of amazing. We'll come back to this in a second, because we'll hear from some of the other county commission members. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with some earlier accident that happened on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 that's causing still some minor delays now. We're seeing about a 5 to 10 minute delay through that construction zone. Let's see here, Highway 90, 98 are all looking good. Still seeing some delays on Highway 29 as you approach I-10 southbound. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this question of the state and SB 180 and the restriction on putting any more burdensome of any kind rules into your land development code and the implications of that as Santa Rosa County has come forward with the recommendations from the Land Development Code Revision Commission. And Colton Wright says, look, this gives them the power to sue us. I guess that's what we'll have to accept.
I think this is a situation where it's our job to stand up and say, we're going to move forward. I think it would be in vain to have the Land Development Code Task Force spend all that time and energy, and have staff spend all that time and energy, and all the time and energy that these board members have put in to try to find solutions that make sense. I mean, common sense regulations and legislation. And I think it'd be wrong for us not to be willing to go ahead and move forward.
And by the way, the principle, the simple word for this is home rule, is local rule, the ability to craft local regulations in your local county that affect what the people there want to do with their lives, or even in your cities. There's a bigger, more complicated word that philosophers and, you know, political theorists, it comes from the Catholic Church, actually. The word is subsidiarity. It's the idea that government that is closest to the people and most local is the most accountable and therefore the least likely to be abused or done poorly. Rules made in D.C. you can't affect and affect you badly. Rules made in Milton, and Pensacola, you have more ability to affect and are less likely to be adverse to you as long as the power is there and you can vote them out of office and all of these things, right? So closer is better rather than being done in Tallahassee or in D.C. or anything like that. And so he says, you know, Colton Wright says our job is to push back, and well, that might mean us getting sued by a builder.
I'd bet money that the 26th legislative cycle, there are probably some legislation that goes through to try to fix this. I can't imagine we get a lawsuit filed before then, but if we do, I just say bring it on. I can say in my heart that I think we're trying to do the right thing, and I think it's the right thing to do to move forward. So that's my 2 cents on SB 180.
So here's the part where I am completely in support morally, like philosophically, but the expectation that if you do go ahead and implement the Land Development Code Revision Task Force, whatever recommendations, you expect to get sued. If you really expect to get sued, you also have to expect to lose. Well, I mean, they brought up some points about maybe they won't lose because there were a lot of voices involved in the table. Maybe that, you know, if the builders are in favor of this, which Jennifer Mancini from the HBA did speak in support of it, except for one of the provisions. Is it worth getting sued if you know you're going to lose? I mean, you know, as a taxpayer, not in Santa Rosa, but, you know, generally speaking, that's not a great strategy. Even if you're right, it's not about being right. It's about what the law says. You know, and that's a question. But the other commissioners were very much on board. Rhett Rowell?
I completely agree. In my short amount of time that I've been here, you know, here's what I've learned, what home rule is and why the state's trying to take it away. And it's been very frustrating.
Absolutely. Bobby Burkett?
I agree wholeheartedly with you. They're making policies, and most of us never even been up here, don't know what we're facing. That's what these people out here elected us for, is to make the decisions that's best for the county. So I say we go forward with it. Let the dominoes fall where they may, or the dice fall where they may, so to speak. But we've got to do the right thing for our citizens, do the right thing for our county. We know our county. They don't. So to them sit there and tell us how to run our county, I'm not for it, no. So I agree. Let's go forward with it.
And by the way, the legislation passed like almost unanimously. There was only ever one vote against it in the Senate and the House. It was almost unanimous. But I think because nobody realized what it would wind up being after the declarations of emergency after hurricanes that hit downstate, right? Ray Eddington.
I'm on board with you. Let's move forward. It won't be the first time the county gets sued. Probably won't be the last. Move forward. Let's go with it.
I'm with you in principle, but if you really don't have the expectation you can win, is it a good idea to go forward with it? Well, I guess it's how much you judge likelihood that you'll get sued. Maybe you judge that you can't win, but you won't get sued, in which case the reforms might be good ones.
Yeah, gentlemen, I think this is a perfect case where civil disobedience is the right way to go.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's close to civil disobedience, but it's still. Yeah, I mean, we're gonna do something that we believe the legislature has said we cannot do. We're gonna do it anyway because it's right. Jennifer Mancini from the HBA.
The work of the task force represents a positive step forward in strengthening our land development code. And after a thorough review of the final recommendations and discussions with the HBA membership, the Home Builders Association fully supports the task force recommendations with one exception, which you guys had already discussed a few minutes ago. The proposed changes to minor subdivision standards. This is a real concern for our small builders.
And I'm not going to get into the details of all that. It's pretty complicated. I'll be frank. I'm also not sure I totally understand that subject the way that I should to talk about it. But yeah, so they support this except for that one part, which they haven't even ratified that part yet. I thought Dar Hartigan from Save Our Soundside had an interesting point about how we might be able to win the lawsuit if the county gets sued after implementing these things.
In the Senate Bill 180, it does have that caveat in it where it says, well, if it makes it more difficult for a developer or more restrictive for a developer, then you cannot enact that code. Some of the things that we undertook in the task force, specifically when it comes to the conservation communities, look at the votes, because like on the conservation communities, I think we might have been unanimous on that or close to it, but if the developers voted for it, then you would think that it would not be a more restrictive provision, and perhaps that might be a bit of a loophole so that some of these provisions can be enacted anyway.
Yeah, because the question of whether it's burdensome, more restrictive, which is the language of the bill, if the Home Builders Association is supportive and they were involved in the process, you could make the argument it's not more burdensome or restrictive, maybe, but... As a total layman who doesn't know, you know, land issues and legal issues the way a lawyer certainly would, it looks dubious to me that the county would win, but it's a crazy law. I mean, it is a crazy law that put in these restrictions that you can't reform your own land development code in a county and make it at all more strict because of some declaration of emergency of a county 600 miles away. You know, it's nuts. Nuts. 724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you need to do home repairs or you build things, speaking of, for a living, or you are doing a remodel or anything like that, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street for 174 years. It's still crazy when I think about this. Coming up on 200, like the bicentennial of this company. In a couple decades, is amazing that before the Civil War, before there were Levi's jeans, you know, there was Pensacola Hardware, and they are the place. They are your commercial construction supply business. The warehouse is here. If you need it, you know, they have it in stock because they know what you need, and they work with so many different builders and construction pros. If you need a special order or something, the architect or the engineer gives you a specified product. They do that all the time for people. They can do it all day long. Go there and find out. If you've never been there, go there and talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield. Say, Andrew's always talking about you. What can you do for me? And they'll tell you. And then you can decide for yourself. And I think what you'll find is they speak your language. They understand your needs. They know how to help you and make sure that you're doing it right and just, you know, help you do your business better, honestly. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with I-10 eastbound. Traffic is backed up all the way to 9 Mile Road exit right now. So that's between 9 Mile and Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. We're seeing some major delays. That's about a 25, 30-minute delay in that area. So just be aware of that. Again, southbound Highway 29 approaching I-10, seeing some major delays there also, about a 10 to 15-minute delay. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God answers our prayers one of three ways: yes, wait, or no. When God says yes, we rejoice. When God says wait, we learn patience. When God says no, we are reminded that He is God, because if God couldn't say no, then He wouldn't be God, we would be. As our loving Father, He says no to His children, and we submit to His will. As our King, He says no, and we bow our knee. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks God three times to remove a thorn in the flesh, and essentially, God says no. But God told Paul, "I will give you grace to handle your trial." Sometimes God says no to our request, but then He says yes to sufficient grace to help in the time of need.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As Florida's number one Invisalign and braces provider, Fishbein Orthodontics is proud to serve the community with 9 convenient locations along the Gulf Coast. And for the week of July 14th through the 18th, Fishbein Orthodontics is offering a flash sale just in time for back to school. $1,000 off braces or Invisalign. Start your smile journey today with a free consultation. Take advantage of the back to school flash sale July 14th through the 18th only. Visit fishortho.com. Your dream smile is closer than you think.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
I love that you're not just singing, John, but that you're gesturing along
the way. Oh, yeah, you have to. You have to.
729 News Radio 92.3. Mayor D.C. Reeves is going to be here in just a few minutes. Before that, let's talk to David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
More than 160 people are still missing in Texas following catastrophic flooding that's now killed more than 100 people. The flooding likely did $18 to $22 billion in damage. The White House looking to ban the Chinese from owning U.S. farmland. That's according to Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, who told reporters on Tuesday the Trump administration will move to ban sales to investors tied to foreign adversaries. And Andrew, the composer of one of TV's most iconic theme songs, has died.
Never heard of it.
Mark Snow received six...
Just kidding.
Your face
six
was
of
like
his 15 Emmy nominations for his work on that show that you've never heard of. A little one called The X-Files.
Yeah, the Emmy is out there.
A long time ago, yeah. Snow also composed music for other TV shows maybe you have heard of. Heart to Heart, Blue Bloods.
I do know Heart to Heart. I love that show. Blue Bloods, what else?
And Helter Skelter.
No, I don't know that one, but Heart to Heart. Oh, my God. Flashbacks to that. Late 70s, early 80s, I guess, couple driving around and they're, you know, there's Richard Wagner, I think. Oh wow. I haven't thought about that TV show in 40 years. That's crazy. All right, Mayor Reeves will be here in just a minute. We'll talk with him about all the things going on in the city.
Fox
News. I'm CJ Pop. At least 111 people losing their lives in the flash floods in central Texas. At least 173 people are missing.
More heartbreaking is that we're expecting that number just to continue to rise and rise dramatically. Search efforts continue. You have hundreds of people on the ground and in helicopters desperately trying to find the rest of those victims there.
Fox's Brooke Taylor this morning in Kerrville. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meeting President Trump this week. He also spoke to Mornings with Marie on Fox Business about Iran's push for a nuclear weapon.
I think within a year they would have had.
Within a year?
Within a year, probably more than one bomb. So that would have been, and they say openly, death to Israel, death to America.
U.S. strikes last month destroying the nuke program in Iran, and the garbage strike is over in Philadelphia. Residential pickup could resume as early as this morning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 76 degrees right now, sunshine, and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. As we continue to see all the devastation in Texas, local officials looking back at flooding in our area for the first time when a flash flood emergency warning was issued in Santa Rosa County.
I want to say it was maybe the 14 flooding. Was the first time that we ever used the flash flood emergency in our county. And that's when we were getting that 26 inches of rain in less than 24 hours. And we were, National Weather Service actually called me and said, hey, we have this new tool. We've never used it before in this area. What do you think? And I said, well, we're rescuing people from cars on Highway 90 and 98 right now. So yes, put it out.
And that is County Administrator Brad Baker, and he's urging folks to keep up to date on local weather conditions by opting in to receive weather notifications from the Alert Santa Rosa system, which sends alerts directly from the National Weather Service to residents' phones. You can sign up on the county website under the Emergency Management page. It's also available in Escambia and Okaloosa counties. A motorcyclist was hurt after a crash on 9th and Creighton yesterday. PPD says it appears a taxi turned in front of a motorcycle and caused the collision. The rider was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. The driver was not hurt. Well, when students get back to their classrooms this fall, they won't be able to have their cell phone. New state law banning phones from classrooms, at least through the 8th grade. Schools across Northwest Florida are preparing to implement this new policy next month.
We're not using phones at all during the day. They are turned off and they are out of sight. We are providing instructional devices to our students at the elementary and secondary level for instructional purposes.
Santa Rosa County School Superintendent Dr. Karen Barber, and she says she thinks the legislature got it right with this law. She believes screen time does need to be limited for kids. The schools will be providing devices that are used for instruction. The law won't affect high school students at least as much. They are still allowed to have their phones, and in some cases, they can even use them for instructional purposes. Well, Governor DeSantis making it clear where he stands on amnesty for illegal immigrants. Newsweek's Josh Hammer wrote on X yesterday that there's a whisper campaign making the rounds in some conservative circles. Hammer said the goal of the campaign was amnesty for illegal immigrants. Well, DeSantis wrote on X, quote, no amnesty, no debate, no compromise, end quote. It looks like the on-again, off-again relationship between Key West and ICE is on again. The city commission yesterday voting 4-2 to approve a new agreement with the federal agency. That means ICE and the city will be working together again on immigration enforcement. Their police chief signed that 287G agreement first back in March, but their city commission voided it last week before reversing course yesterday. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to report to you right now, but still seeing delays on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Also, Highway 29 southbound approaching the interstate there, I-10. You're going to see some delays in that area. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful but hot day today. Temperatures near 92 degrees for your high. 30% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. We've got 76 degrees. Sunshine, beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A regulatory filing says Amazon founder Jeff Bezos has sold nearly 3 million shares worth more than $665 million over 2 days in July. The stock sale is part of a plan announced earlier this year that will see Bezos unload up to 25 million shares through May of 2026. Apple said Jeff Williams, the company's operating chief, will be stepping down from that role later this month. Sabia Khan, Senior Vice President of Operations, will be taking the COO role as part of a long-planned succession. Shares of Ray-Ban maker EssilorLuxottica jumped almost 6% on reports that Meta has taken a minority stake in the company amid growing appetite for AI-powered wearable devices. The investment, if confirmed, indicates Meta's growing inroads into wearable technology. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 165, the NASDAQ up 5, the S&P 500 down 4. It's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best boar head sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie boards to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wine, and Cheeses. Find them today on the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
It's the 2025 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach. And you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in on Friday at 2. And then on Saturday starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team. Plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWherter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Naval Aviation Museum Foundation, Tire Trust, Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fishbine Orthodontics, and DeFranco Gas.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Since August, city residents are, of all the users that had transactions in parking downtown, city residents are 14% of that. 86% of the people that, of the customer that makes a transaction, 86% of those customers do not live in the city.
So we used to have a rule when I worked at the network, and the rule at the network, I break it all the time now, is you don't play a person to a person. Like if you're having a guest on, you don't play them their sound clip to them. I don't know why it was a rule, but it always was. But I don't mind in this case. D.C. Reeves, that was the voice you heard there from his press conference yesterday. Let's go ahead and bring him on before I start talking a little bit. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So, okay, one in six people who pay for downtown parking actually live in the city, five in six, or depending on how you slice it, as you pointed out, by revenue share or by total number of transactions or whatever, somewhere between 16 and 25%, a quarter and a sixth of the people are in the city, which right. means that the vast majority of people who are parking downtown and paying come from either Santa Rosa, Gulf Breeze, or the rest of the county in Escambia, or from out of town. And the idea was that, look, if you're going to pay for infrastructure of whatever type, like a future expansion in parking, a parking garage, or any of the services that come with parking downtown, it only makes sense to have a use fee that is paid for by the people who are not already paying the increased taxes for living in the city. Why burden the taxpayers who aren't using it instead of burdening for through use tax or use fee the people who don't pay that and are using it from outside of the city? Okay, so far so good. We're in agreement, right? I've said all the same things you said, right?
Yeah, they might have said it better.
Okay. Now, here's the part where you're probably going to be surprised. This struck me as eminently fair. As the guy who has kicked and screamed every step of the way about getting rid of free parking. Of course, I will still go to the free parking. There is abundant free parking. I will always go to it. I hate paying for parking. I have done it one time yet ever in downtown Pensacola because I had to be near the DMV to, you know, whatever, to take care of my car. It makes sense that the burden share should fall on the people using it. And the people who come from outside the city don't already pay the higher taxes living in the city. It's fair to charge parking. And in fact, it's fair to charge regular fees for out of city residents and charge a reduced rate 50% if you buy a permit, if you have a permit inside the city. That makes sense to me. I'm not on your side, but I'm on your side. It's the farthest I've ever come to agreeing with you about this.
I just saw a pig go by fly by my house in Sanders Beach. But listen, you know what I'm going to say next to the free parking thing, because I always like to actually hone in the real argument. It gets generalized into everything's paid. And you've heard me say it 100 times. The vast majority of the parking that we possess, the city possesses, is free.
Right.
320 spaces at Commandantia behind the Holiday Inn.
Right.
Spring Street, City Hall, all of that. So the real discussion isn't free versus not free, which is what I am addressed with many times. And I know that's not what you were saying. But in the public, it's like there's this black and white, like everything is free or everything is paid. Up by Salonza on Wright Street, all tons of free parking. So, yes, what we're really talking about is, do you want to walk one to two blocks for free, or do you want to pay to park right in front of the restaurant? That is what we're really talking about. We're not talking about the battle of free versus paid. It's the convenience of free versus paid.
Right. And also just the philosophical look, I had an entitlement. I had a thing that I enjoyed and took for granted. And as a non-city resident, how am I entitled to free parking? I mean, that's, I actually had to ask myself that question, like, dang it.
and listen, if there was a protest, I have not seen any community revolt over bed tax. Right.
Right.
Understandable. We all love bed tax, and cities implement bed taxes, tourism taxes, liquor taxes on downtown areas. There's all sorts of mechanisms where the defense of them is that, hey, this isn't coming from you guys. As a matter of fact, hasn't Governor DeSantis, when he's talked about sales tax, saying that only Canadians pay it.
This defense,
that's a mechanism to increase revenues to say, but we're not protesting any of those. And all I would say is, if you look at our data, I would argue we are at a minimum as efficient to be recouping dollars from people who do not pay city tax as any of those other mechanisms are. That's my point. So if we're going to protest this and the ratio of this and how it treats city residents, then we should also be protesting bed tax. And I'm not suggesting we do. I just mean that it's under the same argument. And that's the point we were trying to make yesterday.
And there's another way to think about it, which, again, works very much against my historical position. But, you know, fine, whatever. I can revise. Kicking and screaming. But it's, you know, if paying for paid parking is the price tag of me having access to the city services that are by and large provided by other people paying their tax burden, I mean, small price to pay. You know, I mean, it's a pretty minor price tag.
And you're
to pay.
Not paying, and if I'm not, you don't live in the city, you're not paying $4.2 million.
Right, exactly. That's it, exactly. We're talking about D.C. Reeves. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10, I-110 are back flowing smoothly. Still seeing some delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach I-10. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, one thing I did want to ask about, you said yesterday, and I thought it was quite good that you said that there are several versions of permits slash passes coming, one for city residents that they'd be able to get half price, basically 50 cents an hour instead of a buck an hour and no transaction fee. Another one for city seniors, probably in the $10 to $15 per month rate where they'd be able to park anywhere they want unlimited. And then another one for non-residents, people like me, that's coming. My question on the non-residents, I know you did not give any details, but I'm asking anyway.
Yeah.
Is the plan for that to be a monthly fee, an annual fee, plus a discounted per use fee, or just a unlimited, or is there going to be a bunch of tiers? Like, what is the plan for the non-resident of the city permit?
I could tell you without finality, I can tell you the direction we're going to go for the non-city residents is it'll likely be some scenario. We'll probably split it day and night for hospitality workers, for example, and not because you've made this point before, Andrew, that I think is very important, is the whole idea of charging a higher rate for parking was to increase availability. Remember,
right.
That was the number one complaint was, right. I can't find a space. And when can you not find them on Friday night when it's free? So that was our problem, as we were log jammed with so many free parking spaces with nobody churning at all. So we have to have a delicate balance of, we can't just make permits a dollar a month and,
right.
and give them to everybody and make it 24 hours a day, because we're just going to fall right back in the same trap that
right.
we had before with a lack of availability. So we went to the dollar an hour, and what we're going to probably do for non-city residents is going to be we'll probably split it day and night, or you could do both, I guess, but we'll probably look at you getting two zones, for example. You know, so maybe, hey, in front of my work or in front of the restaurant I always go to, you get zone 14 and zone 86, and those two zones, you can park there during day, during night, wherever your permit is valid, and you can park there for free. It would be a monthly fee, and then you wouldn't pay in addition to that. You would pay X dollars a month, and then you can park in these zones. Now, remember, those are going to be finite. We can't sell 1,000 of them
right.
in zone 14 because there isn't enough spaces. So that's some of the dance we're doing right now is it will be a first come first serve type of thing. City residents will get priority, but there will be plenty available. And we may say, hey, sorry, Andrew, zone 14 is full, but zone 16.
God, I love zone 14. Yeah. Dang it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it'll be something like that. So there will absolutely this fall be non-city permit options. Look, we understand that people live in the county and work in the city, and that's important for our economy. We know that people live in the county or they live in Gulf Breeze and they come support our businesses. We totally understand that. And so it's not we are not dismissing non-city residents as not important to our economy. We know that. So we do want to make it easier. But what we have found out over a year of time is that truly our issue isn't cost. I do not get a lot of emails about saying, oh my gosh, it was 50 cents. It's now a dollar. I can't believe it. I don't get a lot of that. People might start with that complaint, but it really ends up in technology. It ends up in confusion. It's those types of things that we're trying to bridge the gap on. It's not the 50 cents versus a dollar. I have not gotten very many complaints about that.
Yeah, I mean, a dollar an hour is certainly very reasonable. Or in weird people like Andrew McKay, who are just like philosophically hate to have to pay for parking, which is its own special problem. Let's switch gears a little bit, because a lot of things going on. I very much appreciated the comments about the Chappie James Memorial Foundation. And as I understand it, the short version is you want to work with them. You want to get an agreement that works for everybody, that is legal, and that produces the end result and doesn't, you know, violate any principles of law or ethics because of particularly TDT money. Then that's a going forward. We want to make this work. We just have to get there. Right. That's basically it.
Yep. Very short version is we were so far away from meeting all the parts of the existing agreement. There was no reason to revise or extend. I think we just need to do a refresh.
Yeah.
And we got to get out of this confusion of where the money comes from and what those stipulations are. I mean, so we're just taking a step back and we'll still we were just in conversation with them yesterday morning. So we continue to be in conversation with them. We want to be helpful, but it's not going to be in the current form of that previously enacted agreement.
Main Street, I haven't driven it, is closed now. The intersection at Joe Paddy's, that area is restricted because of work on, or is not yet implemented.
No, it is. Yeah. As of yesterday, A to C on Main Street. So Government Street is now your detour around.
Cool. but I mean, you know, one person texted and said, well, Andrew, if you don't have any, you know, road closures, it means your city is either not doing the proper repairs or not growing and doing the appropriate upgrades. And either of those is bad. I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. I guess you can't really argue with that.
I love Joe Paddy's as much as the next person. And by the way, I drive that road about 6 times a day. So
not anymore. You know, don't.
If anybody wants it done quickly, if anybody wants it done quickly, it's me.
2 months.
And so we're going to get it done as fast as we can. But 1,600 positive outcomes from stormwater for houses in our city is well worth the minor inconvenience.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, that's a major area for that. 2 months is about the expected duration. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So
okay.
8 to 10 week area.
Got it. God, we have so much stuff to talk about. The Bay Center meeting is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow or Thursday morning, yeah.
Okay, so
looking forward to it. It's the desired outcome for me is let's start moving forward with a district vision plan that the city will fund. But I want to make sure everybody's on the same page, gets what they want out of it, gets the deliverables they want. So I know there's some other items on the agenda that the county has put on, but that was the main one that I had requested was to let's hear from this firm out of Nashville that's worked in Pensacola before, and let's look at what happens with traffic. Should it be an ice rink or a conference center? We don't have a study that's in the works that is looking at any of that right now. The only study that's going to happen right now is what level of intensity of renovation do we want to do to the existing Bay Center? So these can work in tandem together and be done at the same time, sometime near the end of the year.
Where are we at on Baptist?
Yeah, good question. You know, obviously we met, we shared all of our information, all of our expertise with exactly what was going on at Baptist. We're entering, I believe, our 5th month of this conversation with the county. We're just really waiting on the $2 million commitment and what the county decides to do or not do, or what part that they want to do. So, you know, I think certainly Commissioner May has been an advocate of trying to get this going. I saw that they have not added it to the agenda as we had expected they would in July, which is, only going to prolong it another month. And so we'll see what happens, but you know, we can't wait forever. We've got to close on the property. We've got other things to do. And certainly I'm respectfully asking that the county get that going.
And, just a note, cause we're just about totally out of time, is you're still working on childcare solutions. And as I understand it, your basic goal is finding a way to help increase the pay, which will incentivize more people to come in and provide supply, help people become smarter about how they run their businesses so they can be profitable in providing daycare. And maybe the city will contribute to all of this by helping with a location, something to provide capacity of the infrastructure space. Is that basically your plan right now?
That's our plan. We meet this morning to start honing exactly what those tactics are. And that is what my proposed plan to our CRA board will be in terms of the Children's Trust.
Okay. And the theory here being that a city that doesn't have enough daycare is going to have struggles with its economy. Let's see if we can't help figure that out the way some others have. So, and I appreciate that. I think that's, you know, tackling a solution that's you weren't elected to solve, but hey, it's a problem, and let's see if we can work on it. We always like to end with a lightning round or quick questions. First question is, when you lock your door at your house or on your car, do you double check to make sure it's locked? Are you a lock rechecker of any sort?
For people listening out there know where I live. Yes. Inconsistent, I would say, Andrew.
Okay. Probably. Do you double click the fob? Do you wait for the chirp afterwards? Like you're walking away and did I beep, beep, you do it? Do you do that a second time ever?
It depends on if I'm late for the meeting or not.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do you wear earbuds? And if so, do you wear them around other people and, or do you think it's rude for other people to wear them when they're talking to you?
Rarely do I do that. I feel like I'm an outlier when I go to like New York or Chicago or Miami, like everybody's wearing them on the sidewalk. But No, I rarely wear them unless I'm on an airplane or I'm at the gym.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, when you go to New York, you're representing little old backwater, you know, Florida, and you probably, they don't even probably have earbuds in Florida, right? So that's why.
They don't talk to each other up there. You know that.
Right. Right. The other side of that equation. Last one. This is a hard one. I'm going to put you on the spot. Bucky's, right. Yay or nay?
Bucky's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Bucky's. Is there some type of revolt happening?
I just don't like the chaos and the high prices, but you know, that's me. I guess antisocial or something.
Well, so then I guess you don't like Disney World or something either, right?
Well, I try to go on the off days. I don't like the crowd. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that'd be good. Maybe they'll have a blog like with Disney World. There'll be a calendar for you for Bucky's, you know, that you can go Tuesday
peak and off peak days,
5 to 6 a.m. And shorten the
line. That's right. Mayor D. Sirius, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks.
All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Is there a revolt?
Revolt. I love it. All right, no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are back to flowing smoothly. Let's see here. Highway 29 still southbound as you approach I-10, still seeing about a 10 to 15-minute delay just in that area, just congestion. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Dales Marine Construction is passionate about creating waterfront structures and shoreline protections. Whether it's a small individual project or a large-scale corporate design, Dales Marine works hard to help you create a plan that satisfies your needs or wants for the space. From small residential docks and piers to large marinas and seawalls, Dales Marine, licensed and insured in Santa Rosa and Escambia County, the area's leader and expert in marine construction for over 30 years and proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
Here in Pensacola, we love our Blue Angels, and we'll get to watch their spectacular performance at the Pensacola Beach Air Show in July. But how much do you know about the fascinating history of the Blue Angels? Did you know the original name of the team was the Blue Lancers? Did you know the Blue Angels shot down Japanese Zeros during air shows? Did you know that Fat Albert once saved lives by preventing a plane crash at sea? Take to the skies and learn these interesting stories, plus lots more, as News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 presents The History of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 through the 11th of July. This special broadcast is sponsored by Calvert's in the Heights. It's the history of the Blue Angels every weekday morning at 6:15 and afternoons at 4:15 right here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Need an affordable medical clinic?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a walk-in or same-day appointment?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a $45 zero copay medical plan?
Go to ProHealthFL.com. ProHealth has always been known for being Pensacola's most trusted and affordable clinic and lab, but now ProHealth offers over 30 affordable ultrasounds too. You never need a doctor's order, and ProHealth allows you to pay with HSA or FSA funds for all their services. You can even schedule yourself at ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
The Blue Angels are flying to Pensacola Beach this week, and on Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m., you can catch the live narration right here on News Radio 92.3.
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, the Saturday show, by the way. So, you know, Blues are, well, I guess they've just arrived. I haven't checked my social media to see if they've done their circle and arrivals. They should be in the air right now over the beach, but tomorrow at 2 o'clock they're going to fly their practice round. Then at 2 o'clock on Friday, we actually have a full demo, you know, full dress rehearsal for everybody. So that's the fakey extra show. Get there early, and then on Saturday from noon to two, I talk with Greg McWhorter about all things blues, and you can listen to the blues at 92.3.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.